Welcome to Point and Drink Adventure, a podcast where Pam and I just like to sit on the couch and chit-chat about all the fun things we've been doing lately.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
I am doing well. I'm so excited you're here.
Me too. I love visiting Pam. Mm-hmm. I love coming here and drinking beautiful cocktails. Look, it's so pretty. Mm-hmm. It is, like, so pretty. Mm-hmm. Like, we threw in a lot of fruit in this
one, we did.
Because we were had to.
Yeah. I mean, if you can make your drink into a fruit garden, then why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. I like it because, so, what we're drinking, I will just get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
What we're drinking is Hendrick's Grand, what is this? Grand Cabernet. So it's a gin that is more stone fruit based. Like, mm-hmm. this recipe is based off of, like, an old French eau de vivre stone fruit recipe from, like, the early 20th century or whatever. And I love this because it's, like, the cranberry is, so this is as cranberry, sparkling wine, this stuff, and lime juice.
Yep.
And the cranberry kind of floating on the bottom, so it has this nice little, like,
gradient
yep. effect. Ombre. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we probably should stir it, but I don't care.
Yeah.
It looks pretty. Mm-hmm. So, Pam actually chose this.
Yes.
It's a pretty purple bottle.
Ooh, it matches.
Oh, yeah.
Why did you choose this?
Well, I saw it on the LCBO website, and the bottle was pretty, and I like Hendrick's gin, and I really love stone fruit, so I thought that would be a really good combination for a gin drink to make it just a little bit more fruitier, but still, like, high over 40 proof.
Yeah, it's like a 43.
Yeah, so still high, so not too, like, sugary or anything, just a nice little hint of a little something more.
A little something more. Mm-hmm. And that's all we want in life. It's just a little something more. We didn't actually... The recipe called for simple syrup. We didn't put simple syrup.
No.
Because we don't need more sugar in our lives.
No, we don't need it.
We had a lot of cocktails yesterday.
Yes.
What have we been doing when we're here? We went to a drag show.
Yep. We saw Sasha Colby on Saturday night. And before that, we went to a bar and sampled all the cocktails.
We had so many cocktails. And every time the waiter came around, we just ordered another different cocktail. Mm-hmm. Every time.
Yep.
So, yay for us.
Mm-hmm.
Although we're not too hungover today, so we're great.
Yeah, we're good now. We had a nice brisket Easter brunch over at my mom's, so that sort of... That, like, nice fatty meat just sort of cuts through the hangover.
We'll be ordering DoorDash later.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, let's get into it, though.
Yes.
Because we've been, again, I swear.
How's the drink, though?
Oh, yeah. How is the drink? How is this drink? This is good. What do you think?
I think it's delicious.
Yeah.
I really like it. I think probably...
It needs a stir.
It needs a little bit of a stir.
All the cranberry is at the bottom, so right now all you're getting is sparkling wine with the gin. Mm. But just the sparkling wine and gin, not bad.
It's delicious, yeah. And yesterday we were drinking, after the cocktail bar, just the gin with lemon soda, which was really delicious.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah. Well. Easy two-ingredient cocktail that is... Like, we could have even made it fancier. Like, I think I could throw in a bunch more shit in it.
Yeah.
Just to make it pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But just two ingredients is all you need for a great cocktail.
Yeah.
Delicious. Don't need to make it complicated. Okay. Movies. Mm-hmm. We watch way too many freaking movies.
Yeah, we've been hot on the movie kick lately.
Yes. Not enough games. Although we do have a couple games.
Yeah, we've got a few games.
A few. So, you go first. I feel like I've been talking a lot. You go first.
Sure. So, the first movie I watched is called The Mafu Cage.
Mafu. What is that?
So, I don't know if a mafu is a real thing.
Okay.
I don't really think it is, but it's a while back I was looking for horror movies directed by women directors, and so I got this whole list of things that have been on my list, and this is one that I wanted to see. Not streaming anywhere, like, pretty difficult to see. And then Dylan got a Blu-ray of it, so that's how we were able to watch it. So we watched that. It's got Carol Kane in it.
Oh, I love her.
Who's awesome. So her and her sister live in this big house. Their father was some kind of, like, anthropologist or something, working in Africa, sort of, like, you know, studying the people there and the... And the wildlife? I'm not sure. It was a little confusing about what his deal was. But the daughters had been there with him when they were young. And he died. And one daughter has it together. She works at like an astronomy lab, at least sort of has it together. And then Carol Kane thinks she's still in Africa, and she's always just like doing herself up and putting on like this music, and her little area is just full of like plants and things. She has a big cage where she keeps her mafu, which is just a monkey. She's had different kinds of monkeys, and she draws them, and she's a very talented artist. But then you find out like they keep dying, and it's weird. And so she keeps getting these new monkeys, and you just kind of figure out how she's pretty crazy. And her sister is just kind of enabling the crazy behavior keeping, you know, giving her what she wants. Eventually the sister starts to try to break off and like have her own relationships, and then that just spirals crazy. So
sister can't go live her own life.
So it was really good. Carol Kane was amazing.
Yeah.
She's got this big like wild hair. This like tiny little waif with this just like wild hair. It looks amazing. Cultural appropriative. Yeah,
sounds like it.
But like, it looks great.
I mean, obviously she's insane, so yeah. It's not like she's, I'm doing this because because I'm trying to be evil. No, I'm just insane.
Yeah. But it was really interesting. She was fantastic in it, so.
Fun. Yeah. I've never heard of this movie before. I saw this on the list. I was like, I got no clues. No ideas, but cool. Very. Yeah. I love the interesting movies that you bring to this. They're so, like no one would ever find that movie. Never would have found that movie.
Yeah, I don't. I was even looking up Letterboxd reviews and people. I mean, there's not a ton of them, and just not super well known. But yeah, really good.
Fun. Watch fun stuff like that. I mean, I don't know if it's called fun.
Yeah.
Watch dark, insane stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. What have you watched?
Well, mine's a little bit more well-known. At least the first one on the list. Mm-hmm. I watched, because I've been streaming lately, and one of the games I've been playing, Indigo Prophecy, I got kind of Army of Darkness vibes from it. Just because of the Necronomicon.
Right.
And so I was like, God, the Necronomicon. I really like. I think they mentioned some sort of the similar thing, like a Necronomicon, Indigo Prophecy, or I'm just totally making that up.
Okay.
And because of the way the story goes, and which I'll talk about in Indigo Prophecy. So I was like, just made me like want to watch Army of Darkness.
Right.
Have you seen Army of Darkness before?
I've only seen it once.
Oh.
And it was a long time ago.
It's so bad, it's good.
I've seen the first two movies more.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah. I haven't seen the first two movies more.
Oh, okay.
I've only really watched Army of Darkness.
Oh, interesting.
And it takes, I think, a bit of more of a tonal shift
than
the first
sure.
two. It's way more goofy.
Mm-hmm.
It's way more stupid. But I love it.
Yeah.
It's very bad. Army of Darkness is about, it's the third movie in the trilogy of the Evil Dead series by Sam Raimi.
Yep.
And Ash, our main protagonist, is working at the S-Mart, I think it's called.
Okay.
A supermarket, like a Walmart. And it's after the first two movies, and he's just like, I'm working here. And he gets transported back in time, sort of.
Uh-huh.
It's back in time, but I don't know if it's this timeline, because it's like, there's magic and stuff. So, transports back in time with a car.
Oh, okay.
And a shotgun. His big boomstick. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying to find his way back into the real world.
Right.
And so he meets a group of people, and they think he is the chosen one that is there to help them. So he's like, I'm not, but I guess I have to, but in order to get back. So he goes on a mission to get the Necronomicon in order to be able to get teleported back.
Okay.
The movie is goofy. It's stupid. There's great stop motion animation of skeletons, and they're funny, and Ash is... Give me some sugar, baby. Like,
I love Bruce Campbell.
I love Bruce Campbell. Oh my God, he's so amazing. This is my boomstick. Or, give me some sugar, baby is a great one. Mm. Or, this woman, his, like, main love interest, she gets, like, changed image into, like, an undead person.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, you found me beautiful once. And he's like, baby, you got real ugly.
You found me beautiful once.
Honey, you got real ugly.
It's so good. It's not, rewatching it though, I'm like, it's not a good movie.
No.
It's not. Oh, but it's so stupid. I love it.
Does he have a chainsaw arm too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Does he not have a chainsaw arm in the first? I feel like he did. He does.
Does it turn into a chainsaw arm?
Yeah.
I mean, I think at some point he does like get his arm
cut off. And then he turns it into a chainsaw arm. And then he uses that. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It's been a while since I've seen them, because I think that 2 is basically a remake of 1, just goofier?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's been a long time since I've seen those.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's fun.
Army of Darkness is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Bad fun. What else have you been watching?
So, something that, I don't even remember what service it was on. Maybe Netflix, I don't know. A movie called All of Us Strangers, and I had just finished watching season 2 of Fleabag, or rewatching season 2 of Fleabag, and the priest from that, whose name is now escaping me, Andrew something,
hot priest from Fleabag.
Hot priest from Fleabag. He is a lonely man, and one day at his building, he meets a much younger man who comes and he's like, hey, you want to hang out? And he's like, no. He kind of turns him down. Mm-hmm. And you find out this guy is a writer, and he starts writing a script. And it's all very surreal. He starts visiting his childhood home and hanging out with his parents. However, his parents died when he was 12.
Oh.
And he's hanging out with them as that age, like just before they died. So he's kind of hanging out with his parents, getting through some stuff, sort of like coming out as gay to them, talking about things that happened in his childhood, sort of working through that. All along, he eventually does sort of start a relationship with the guy from the beginning, and they go through things. So it's very much about being sad and lonely and gay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're both pretty sad and lonely. And it was just a really beautiful, like, it was a sad movie.
And the supernatural aspect of it, I think, is, like, interesting.
Yeah.
Do we call it supernatural? Like, ghost? It seems ghosty.
Yeah, it seems ghosty, and, like, time does strange things, and yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm going back, but I'm 12, hanging out with my parents. Mm-hmm. But now?
Yeah, like, he's
weird.
An adult.
Yeah.
But his parents when he was 12, yeah.
Yeah, weird. Mm-hmm. I've seen, not reviews, but just, like, advertising for this movie, and I love Hot Priest.
Yeah.
So I want to watch this, and I just haven't yet. I just need to.
Yeah.
Watch this. Hot Priest.
Yes.
Be sad.
Yeah, it was really good. I recommend it.
Yay.
What else have you watched?
So, I'm on this, like, car kick, I guess, because the last episode I watched Grand Prix, which was about cars.
Yeah.
Grand Prix and, like, Formula One. And so then I saw that Michael Mann, who's one of my favorite directors, I say favorite directors. He directed one of my favorite movies of all time, Last of the Mohicans, which is, I will rewatch that movie a billion times. I love it. The music, Anyhow. So he directed a new movie last year called Ferrari. And it's about, I forget his first name, but the guy Ferrari from the 50s. Because his son now runs the company, so the...
Enzo Ferrari?
Enzo! Pam didn't even watch the movie. Did you watch the movie?
No.
Man, I didn't watch the movie. She knows who he is. And so it's Adam Driver, Penelope Cruz, and Shailene Woodley?
Oh, okay.
Is that how you say her name?
Something like Shailene or Shailene or,
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so Enzo, Adam Driver plays Enzo Ferrari, which I thought he did a really great job.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much just about him in the 50s, or it's like 1 year, 1957. Mm-hmm. They're getting ready to do the mille. I'm going to put name of what this race is above my head, which is a long endurance race in Italy.
Okay.
And this race is fucking insane. It's like 10 hours, so it's like about 1,000 miles. And they race open road. So they're driving past cars.
Oh, wow.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like...
Spoiler alert, this race no longer exists.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because of all of the deaths. Not only the deaths in the race car drivers, but
there
the people,
other people around,
the people
poor
watching.
Innocent bystanders.
Yes! And then it's the 1950s, and you're watching this, and there's just hay barrels blocking the... It's like...
That's not gonna do anything.
No. No, and these cars are going, you know, 100 and 150 miles an hour blasting past you, and it's like, oh my god.
Yeah,
this is
nuts.
Insane. It's nuts. But it's more about Enzo Ferrari and his relationship with his wife, as well as his mistress, who is his wife is Penelope Cruz, who's great playing crazy.
Yeah.
And then his mistress, Cheyenne Woodley, who he has a kid with. And pretty much that. There's very few driving sequences in this movie, and when there are, they are fucking terrible.
Oh no.
It's so fucking bad.
Oh.
It's so CGI'd. Mm-hmm. They're not even trying. Mm-hmm. And there's this one sequence at the end. It looked like it was made in like 1999 like a student filmmaker. It's so bad. It's so bad. But the movie itself is, it's all right. Like I complained about Grand Prix and how the melodrama was crap.
Mm-hmm.
This one, at least the melodrama was more interesting, especially the relationship between, come here, Lily. Come on. Yeah, we got Lily now.
There we go.
Come on, baby. Oh, oh, oh.
Good girl.
Yes. Oh, you're sniffing me.
Why will you be on the podcast and I'll be in my videos?
I know. Yeah, baby? Okay. So, so the melodrama is, like, okay in this, but the driving's super bad. Oh. So I wouldn't watch this for driving at all, except the cars. Mm. Stupid cute.
Yeah.
Can I just have a still image of these cars, like, or whatever, wandering around? They're so cute. So, not as cute as you, though.
That's too bad about the car sequences. I love a good, like, car chase in a movie. I mean, I know it's slightly different than a race, but...
Like, but still, like, you can get that feeling of a chase and such, and if it's, especially if it's well done, it's terrible.
Aww.
It's fucking terrible. Oh, my God.
That sucks.
But yeah, it was alright. I don't know if I'd recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Adam Driver, I think, a good job. Oh, it's one of those movies, too. Like, they're speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Driver does a good job using an Italian accent speaking in English.
Mm-hmm.
Penelope Cruz uses zero accent because she's Spanish.
Yeah.
And she's just using a Spanish accent to replace a, replace her Italian accent.
Yeah.
Cheyenne Woodley needs to just speak fucking English.
Oh.
It's so bad.
Oh, no.
And it goes in and out, and she has this one, like, big monologue.
Mm-hmm. Lily. Lay down, please.
Lay down, baby. Lay down. Come on.
Lay down.
Come on. Yeah.
No.
Okay. There we go. That's my girl. I don't need your face in my face.
No. Okay. Well, that's...
But she does a terrible job. No. So, yeah. That's that movie.
All right.
What else have you watched?
So, yesterday, we watched Center Stage. What was it? Okay, something else we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But with ballerinas. And they were like, have you watched Center Stage? Like, yes, I love that movie. It's like, yeah, we're going to watch it when we get back from the drag show. So, yeah, we watched Center Stage, which is a... When was it? Around 2000?
It was 2000.
It's a 2000 movie about... the main character is this girl Jody, and she's made it into the American Ballet Academy, and just sort of her life trying to be a ballerina, taking classes, finding love, having her heart broken, and just sort of all the things that these ballerinas go through during training and the relationships they have. And it's just a lot of fun. The dancing's really good.
It's so good. The choreography is
so good. The choreography is good. Everyone in it is good at dancing. Like, I'm not an expert, but, like, they all look pretty good at dancing.
Yeah, like, they all are fun. Like, especially even the actors who are not professionally dancers, they look like they're doing a good job.
Yeah, like, Zoe Saldana looked like she was doing an amazing job, and it was definitely her dancing. Like, it's so, that was really good. It also has an amazing soundtrack.
Oh, so good. The soundtrack is so good.
Yeah, there's Jamiroquai is on there more than once.
Love it.
Mandy Moore is on there more than once. There's some Chili Peppers?
I don't remember.
Who's the Higher Ground song? Is that Chili Peppers?
I don't know.
Oh. But yeah. But yeah, just really good soundtrack, very fun, lots of good dancing. I love a, like, sports or sports adjacent movie, despite the fact that I'm not really into that, but just like anything with like a good montage or like training, like I love it.
Pam needs a good montage.
Yeah.
I love this. I watched this movie a lot when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I mean, the acting is terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, some of it's all right, but the one guy.
The one hot guy.
Hot male ballerina, the love interest, is just
terrible.
So bad at acting. Good at dancing. Bad at acting.
And thankfully, he only has, like, a couple lines.
He doesn't talk too much. That's nice.
I didn't really realize that until watching it yesterday. Mm. I was like, oh, he doesn't talk at all.
No.
He's just there to look good.
Because every time he did talk, we're like, ugh.
Ugh. Ugh. He's so gross.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Center Stage.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I hadn't watched it in a while, so I was happy to have seen that again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You done with us? Do you want to leave?
Do you want to leave now, baby? You over it? I'm so over it. Here, do you need me to move this thing?
No? Okay, you just stand there and look uncomfortable.
So awkward. She's like, I can't decide. I'm stuck. There's like a tiny table
here. A tiny table. Okay,
there we go.
Just came to cover everyone in dog hair, and now she leaves.
Very much.
What else have you watched?
Oops.
It's my little carpet that goes under my computer chair. I just keep slipping on it.
Slipping it off. We'll talk about the old one first.
Okay.
So we watched.
Yeah.
Roadhouse. The old one. The Patrick Swayze 1989 movie.
Mm-hmm.
We did a watch party of it. Because Pam's never seen it before.
No.
I was like, my God.
Never seen it.
This movie has everything.
Yeah.
It has sex. It has fighting. It has drama.
Booze.
It has booze. Booze. Boobs. Mm-hmm. It has Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
It has everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else there is to have in a movie.
Yeah. It had Jeff Healey playing himself.
Yes. Behind a chicken wire.
Yeah.
So, what is this about? It's about, what is it about?
A bouncer.
He's a bouncer. A famous bouncer.
A famous bouncer. What's his name again?
Dalton? Is it Dalton? And I know it's Dalton in the new one.
Yeah.
So it must be Dalton.
Everyone's like, you're Dalton?
Oh.
That's Dalton. That's Dalton the bouncer.
Like, who knows a bouncer?
From halfway across the country.
Right. Who knows these things?
I don't know.
And it's like dingy roadhouse. He goes to work out where there's dirt on the floor, but the guy wants to clean it up.
He wants to clean it up. I guess I've not been in many rough bars, but I feel like if you're having multiple fights a night in your bar, like, how do you even stay open with all the shit getting broken?
Right.
And, like, the lawsuits.
Right. I feel like when that happens, you get closed down for, like, 24 hours every time that happens.
Yeah.
And then what do? Mm. Be closed for 24 hours, so probably a Friday night.
Yeah.
Lose money.
Mm.
And then just do it again all over the next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that. It's not sustainable.
Nope.
No. But Patrick Swayze's real hot.
Yeah.
And there's lots of boobs.
Lots of boobs. Yeah. But yeah, so it's a strange movie because I was the only one who hadn't seen it before. And I remember you guys were like, just wait till you find out what the story is. Because we're an hour into this movie and it's just like,
he's
a bouncer and he's trying to make the bar better. But that's not it. That's not the story.
Yeah. It's about this evil man who lives across the river and he's doing bad dealings in the town.
Yeah.
And making the town so he's the one in charge. And he wants to create a town that's, like, more money for him.
Yeah.
So he starts blowing shit up because people who don't pay him, apparently he just blows
he just
shit
blows
up.
Blows up their stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lily's drinking. Mm-hmm. And then so Patrick Swayze feels compelled to help the town because
he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm working as a bouncer.
He's all about conflict resolution.
Like, yes. How do we solve this with the least amount of resistance? Mm-hmm. Which there's just tons of resistance.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the path he took was the right one, but yeah, it's wild. There's so many fighting.
That is the best word for it. Just wild. Just like all the brawls that take place. Mm-hmm. The fact that he tears someone's throat out with his bare hand.
It's like Mortal Kombat style, just goes, wah!
It's so crazy. The fact that there was one scene in it that was exactly the same as a scene from Dirty Dancing, down to the exact same music being used. It was wild, yeah.
I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, would you recommend, though?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I think it's a great. I think it's fun. Is it good? No.
No, but it was a lot of fun.
It's very charming. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of, like, cult check boxes.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's charming, it's stupid, it's fun, there's boobs, there's... I'm just gonna keep mentioning boobs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's a fun movie.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed watching it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With that said, then Pam hasn't watched this, I watch Roadhouse the remake with Jake Gyllenhaal, who, the story being a little bit different because now Dalton, instead of just being a bouncer, he's a former UFC fighter.
Okay.
So you have at least context on why he's good at fighting.
Right.
Because he can fight in the octagon.
I just saw that. His co-star is Conor McGregor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Conor McGregor is in the movie. He plays the crazy bad guy.
Oh, so he's
like,
a bad guy.
You know the one guy who was like, in the old Roadhouse, he was like, I'd fuck you guys, I fuck guys like you in prison?
Yeah.
Or that, I think that was his line?
I think so.
Something like that?
I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
He plays that guy. The crazy one who's just like, I'm crazy, and I'm going to come after him.
Yeah.
Because I just enjoy chaos.
Right.
And Conor McGregor is fun playing chaos because it's fucking Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And he's insane.
Uh-huh.
He's also, you see his naked butt a lot.
Okay.
Which I'm not against.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Is he any good at acting?
No.
No.
No, but he doesn't need to be anything but himself in this, because he's playing insane, and he's just, he isn't, you can tell he's enjoying playing the insane,
right.
So he's having fun with it.
Yeah.
And I think he was fun in that aspect,
mm-hmm.
but this movie is definitely not as fun. It does not, this movie didn't need a remake.
Okay.
It lost its charm.
Yeah.
And there's things that you gain and you've lost from the original that are like, why do we need this? So the remake is set in the Florida Keys, whereas the original is like in Oklahoma or
somewhere
in the middle of nowhere,
very country.
Very country. So this is in the Florida Keys, so we're in beautiful Florida Keys. And Dalton is recruited to work as a bouncer for a woman who works at this bar because she keeps getting raided every night. There's fights every night. She wants to control it. Because the big bad in the movie is trying to make her leave because he wants to set, like, real estate on the island in order to do, like, corporate-y real estate and just, like, you know. But in a very, like, doing it a bad way because there's lots of drug money.
Right.
So... the start of the movie, Jake Gyllenhaal, Dalton, is actually in a, like, cage fight, but like a, like, underground fight club cage fight with what, Post Malone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's so funny because Post Malone is like, just beat the shit out of this one guy. Uh-huh. And they do, like, a shot of him. I'm like, bitch, that honey is not in shape.
No.
Jake Gyllenhaal is going to own him. But then Post Malone realizes, oh, that's Dalton.
Oh, Dalton?
It's Dalton.
That's Dalton.
That's Dalton. So we cannot fight Dalton. So he just leaves. Mm. And, yeah.
That's the stupidest thing about both of them.
It's Dalton. In this one, they explain why Dalton is famous.
Oh, okay.
He has, you know, he does something in a cage fight, which is why he does not do...
Does he tear someone's throat out?
No, I wish he'd tear somebody's throat out, but he doesn't tear it. That would have been amazing if he actually tore somebody's throat out.
In a cage fight.
Yes! That's what should have happened. Mm. God, Pam, we need to write a screenplay. Yeah.
I guess so.
But yeah, so he just goes and saves. The same pretty much premise to everything. Mm-hmm. There is no Sam Elliott character, I didn't really feel like, which is a shame.
It's too bad. Sam Elliott is so hot.
Sam Elliott is hot.
So hot.
Hot. But yeah, watch the original. Don't watch the remake.
Yeah.
Watch the original.
Interesting. All
right. What else have you been watching?
So, we did a Patrick Swayze double...
Feature.
I was about to say double header, like, that's a baseball, that's two baseball games.
It is.
That's not what we did. So the other movie we watched was Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Which is from 1984.
Yeah.
Which... Wasn't good, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dylan, but this was not a good movie.
It's so long.
Is like a complete like propaganda, jingoistic, like Red Scare, like the communists come, just the communists, not even particularly Russian. Like there's some Russians and some Cubans, and like just the communists. They come to the United States and they attack it, and then. They take over this small town in Colorado, and a bunch of teenagers escape and get a bunch of guns, and then they just do guerrilla warfare against the communists to protect the U.S. of A.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. It felt like it was 4 hours long.
I think it was so long.
I think it was only 2 hours long.
Pacing real bad.
They're all teenagers. I mean, I think Patrick Swayze was technically, like, probably...
20-ish?
But I think he was definitely in his 30s.
You think?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Because I'm pretty sure he was 36 in Roadhouse, so...
Oh, that was only a couple years later.
That was only 5 years before.
Yeah, so he's 30.
Yeah. Also, Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing with him. But you don't really get to... I felt like I didn't get to know or care about any of the characters.
Yeah.
So it's like when they were fighting and dying and sad about their dead parents because the communists killed them, I was like,
I have no sympathy for you.
I don't care,
really.
Because
we're cold, hard bitches. Yeah. I need story. Tell me why.
Yeah, you need to develop these characters. Like, there was this kind of cool scene at the beginning, and they're all just... in their high school classroom,
yeah,
and people just start, like, parachuting into the field, and then just open fire.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the coolest scene.
Yeah.
Because you imagine yourself in that situation, if you just look out the window, like,
fuck, yeah.
What is happening? Yeah. And not knowing anything. Mm. So I thought that was a really good scene, and that was the only good scene.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was just a strange movie.
Yeah, it's not that good.
It's like just a strange propaganda movie. Like,
it is. It was. And yeah. And they remade it too. I haven't seen the remake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to.
No.
I've fears about this. Like, why would we remake this movie? Again, yeah. I feel like it's just like 80s nostalgia. Like, we have to remake these movies because, oh, people, like, it's another IP we can just, like, harvest.
Yeah.
No. We don't need to. Let's come up with an original idea, kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. So it was... It was not. I don't... Not recommended for Red Dawn.
No. I agree. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even as fun as Roadhouse. At least Roadhouse is fun.
Yeah, Roadhouse is so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not fun.
Not fun.
Mm-mm. At all.
No.
No. What else have we been watching?
This is my fault.
Pam is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All able.
I don't watch a ton of reality TV.
But when you do.
When I do, I just, like, just fucking go for it. Mm-hmm. So, recently Netflix released season 6 of Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. So I started telling Michelle about Love is Blind. And then she watched the first whole season. Mm-hmm. And then when she got here, we watched
half of season three.
Because I realized I had never seen season 3 before. So Love is Blind is a show where they want to find out, is love blind? Can you fall in love with someone without ever seeing their face or body? So they have all these single people, and they all want to get married. They're tired of online dating.
Because apparently when you're 25, you're just tired of dating.
When you're 25, you're like, I've had enough. I'm ready to get married.
My bitch,
like,
just wait till you're 38.
Yeah. these men and women, it's all 100% straight.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because of the format of the show. Like, it would be really hard to try if you...
You'd have to get all, everyone bi.
Yeah, everyone this or everyone that, which is fine.
Yeah. But, so they have dates in pods where they can hear each other, but they can't see each other. Mm-hmm. And they sort of start, you know, narrowing it down. It's like, okay, well, I want to see this person again, see this person again. And you're in the pods, I think it's like 10 days. It's like...
I don't even think it's that long.
Or maybe a week.
Yeah.
And so if, based on your conversations, there's a proposal, and it's always the man that proposes.
Yeah, which is bullshit.
Yeah, always the man that proposes. And then once you've gotten engaged, then you get to actually see each other.
Yes.
So... usually, a number of couples get engaged, and then they move to, like, a vacation spot. So, the one we watched, they went to this, like, nice, like, ranch house in Malibu. And then they spend, like, a week there, and then they go into the real world, where they have to, like, talk to their families and friends and introduce their fiancé.
Can
they make it to the altar? Like, oh, will they judge me? Oh,
He's 10 years younger than me.
Oh, my friends are going to judge me. So, yeah. And then they get to the altar, which is the most wild part of the show. Because at least until a certain point, no one breaks up before that. They get to the altar. They say their homemade vows. They have, like, little prayers if they're prayer people. And then it's like, do you take this woman or this man? And, like, half of them are like, no.
And you're like, what?
In front of their family and friends and everything.
You're like, you just said these beautiful vows.
I know. You just said, like, oh, I love you. You taught me love is blind. You make me so happy and smile every day.
But no.
No.
But no. No. We can't do this.
No.
Because you have crushed my self-esteem. Yeah. Oh my god, that was a good one. It was season 3. This bitch was like, I'm just gonna lay this man out on a fucking barbecue. Yep. Oh my god.
Oh boy. Yeah. So this show is nuts. It's like...
it's insane.
Fun.
It's so awful.
Yeah.
These people are fucking insane.
Yeah.
But I cannot stop watching this tire fire.
It was really fun to be able to watch it with you, to be able to, like, shit talk in real time.
Yes! Yeah. It's way more fun that way.
Way more fun. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some couples who it's just, like, they seem to really like each other. Mm-hmm. They have no major issues in the month that they've known each other. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, yeah, let's get married.
Let's do
it's
it.
Like, okay, that's good. I'm glad you found each other. Kind of, you know, I probably wouldn't do it in a month, but, you know. Good for you. But then so many of them are just like, you guys don't even like each other. Like, why are you entertaining this?
I think I read somewhere that they get, if they opt out before the wedding, that they don't get like $50,000 or something. So it's like the incentive to go through it all the way to the wedding is much stronger. But also at the same time, it's a waste of fucking time.
A waste of time.
Waste of time and energy. Your family's fucking there? The one girl, the brother was like, why are we here?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, honey, why are you here?
I mean, there was this one couple who, her family wasn't there, but his mom came and, like, did her head piece yes. and talked to her and was like, I love you. And they get to the altar and he says no.
He says no.
Like, Jesus.
The mom is there yeah. doing her fucking headpiece mm. because they're it's Nigerian and yeah. they're doing like a traditional Nigerian wedding. Mm-hmm. And then she's got this beautiful headpiece on. The mom's doing this stuff for her. Yeah. And he says no.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Man. It's the show's insane.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
These people also are insane.
Yeah.
That, because, you know, it's all social media driven. Yeah. These people are obviously just looking for that quick, hot 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Slide into their DMs. 15
minutes of fame. Yeah. It's, I mean, I feel like some people are there
for both. Love. Yeah.
And fame.
Yes.
Like, because you don't go on there if you're a private person who doesn't want any.
Which Internet is most of America.
Like, yeah.
Oh no, not even most. Yeah. Some. Yeah. I feel like most people now are for, like, I want my 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Like, how many kids nowadays want to be, I want to be a social media person. Yeah. I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. And it's like, bitch, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's another show that's wild.
It's wild.
It's not good, but I sure do like watching it.
It's so fun. We'll probably watch some more later
mm-hmm.
after we watch another fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's it for what we've been watching.
Yes! It's time for a break to refill our drinks. I have to go make another cocktail. Break!
Roadhouse.
What games have we been playing, Pam? Not many games.
Not too many.
I blame the big beefy things that we're in the process of.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing Unicorn Overlord
mm-hmm.
a lot, so that's been taking up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what I've sort of finished, Neon Abyss.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah, yes. It's a roguelike.
Mm-hmm.
It is it has twin stick shooter control, so it's like a 2D platformer, but you shoot with your right stick, which is nice, because I find most of them are melee.
Hmm.
And it was nice to have a more ranged focus thing.
Mm-hmm.
You start off in this bar, you go down into the dungeon, of course it's procedurally generated, and while you're down there you can find like keys to open locked doors, or grenades to blow up things. And you go, you collect money, you fight enemies, there's shops where you can go maybe get a new weapon, or get some little buffs. There's these little eggs that you get, which is one of my favorite things. You get an egg, and it follows you around for a certain amount of time, and then it hatches, and it makes this little sprite who does stuff for you. It's like...
I get a little bunny?
Yeah, you get like... at some of my runs, I would probably have like 20 of these little guys just following me around. They'd be just like throwing fireballs at enemies, or if I took damage, they'd drop a coin, or just cool stuff like that.
I love that. Mm. I want a little army of cute little things following me around. Yes.
Yeah, so it was pretty fun. I played it for a while. I beat, I think... 4 bosses as you go through this story. I don't know. It's about gods. Like, you fight Ares and Athena. But I found the writing kind of obnoxious, so I didn't read any of it. But yeah, you're just opening things up, and then it's like, now you have to fight cursed Ares and Athena. And I would go into the dungeon, and I had no idea how to find cursed Ares or Athena. And I played a bunch of times, and I never, like, ran into the boss I needed to fight next. So I was like, okay, I'm done. But it was fun, and up until then, so.
Visually, it looks like one of those, like, cool... How is it visually? I'm judging it by the box.
It's sort of... It's pixel art.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's a lot of neon and things.
Mm-hmm.
As you go, you gain these special tokens so you can level up things, making it so that you can see the breakable walls, or it'll open up little mini-games. Like, there's a fishing mini-game, or one of those, like, claw machine mini-games.
There's a fishing mini-game?
I mean, it's just a very, like, you do it, and then it says, like, a button, and you have to press it on time.
What, that's Breath of Fire level right there.
Yeah. So there's all these little mini games that you can do to get more coins or get more equipment and things like that. So
you think you'll go back into it or no?
No, I think I'm done. I probably played, I don't know, 10 or 12 hours. Like, I got a good amount of time into it. I was reading up because I couldn't figure out how to find these bosses. And I was like, oh, you can go the wrathful way, which is like, just smacking doors until they open rather than using keys. And I was like, oh, I never even thought...
To do that. Interesting.
Yeah. So
gotta love it when a game explains things.
I mean, it might have explained it, and I know.
I mean, that's true. So, but if you don't have enough good enough for me to read it,
it was obnoxious. It was very like I sometimes like fourth wall breaking, but this was just like a lot. It felt like it was referencing Hades a lot because I just thought it was annoying. But it was fun. Like I had a good time with it. It's on Game Pass, so.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. It's good.
Yeah.
See, Pam plays roguelikes.
I do. I do play roguelikes sometimes. What have you played?
I played a game you actually gave me.
Yay!
Pam, my sister wanted this game, and Pam had it, and she was like, I'm selling this. I'm like, can I have it?
Yeah.
I don't even remember if we bought it from you, if you just straight up, because there's been like two games where you just straight up gave to me because I helped you.
You helped me sell it, the very game change. I was like, here. Take things. What can I give you?
I'm like, okay. Shane. But so I played Indigo Prophecy, which is the first David Cage game. I said movie. They're movies.
They're basically movies.
Mm-hmm. Game, yeah. Which is about, I don't even remember the fucking character's name.
I don't know.
We have dude who is, murders a guy in a diner bathroom.
The beginning is so good.
The intro to
that game is amazing. Mm-hmm. You just sort of like wake up and there's a body and you've got like a knife in your hand and you're like, shit. And then you have to like either hide it or try to get away. It's like very tense. I think it's like one of the best game openings.
And what you do in that opening decides so much of the game moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't pay your bill, then, like, the police will, like, not go after, or will go after you more. Or I forget what it is. Like, if you go up, pay your bill, then the waitress doesn't see you. So then they don't come after you as much throughout the game.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it has so many, like, there's a lot of things that, like, all of your decisions matter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not in terms of, like, the overall ending.
Yeah.
Because there's only three endings, I think three endings that you can get in this movie. Game. It's a fucking movie. But how to get there, there's a lot of, like, variations and such. So if you're not familiar with David Cage, David Cage is one of those writer, developer dudes who's really into narrative-driven games.
Yeah.
Detroit, Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls are a couple of his games.
Yeah.
And they're mostly story-driven decisions, so, like, it's, I guess, like a point-and-drink event, point-and-click.
Just like our podcast.
A point-and-click adventure where you have to make decisions, like, kind of like that, but also a lot of quick-time events.
Yeah.
And if you perform well in those quick time events, we'll determine how the story will play out. You can die in this game. It's not like Monkey Island where you can't die.
Yeah.
There's lots of dying. I died a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off just as a murder mystery, and then shit really hits the fan.
It gets weird. You get to a certain point, I think it's when, like, the homeless camp? Yeah. Like, the underground thing, and then it's like, what is happening?
So... Spoiler! We get to the homeless camp thing. And you can play up to three characters throughout the game. Mm. You play the dude who murders the thing, and then the two cops who are trying to solve it.
Okay.
Carla and... I remember Carla's name, but I don't remember the other guy's name. We're gonna call him Really Bad Taste Level Dude. Because his apartment was, like, out of the fucking 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this bad girlfriend.
Oh.
It's terrible. Anywho. Main character dude who murdered a person who is just trying to survive.
Right.
And Carla, who is after him, all of a sudden start having sex.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
what?
What? Cool. Pixelated sex scenes. Love it. And then they're in love.
Yeah.
It's real weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns into this journey to find this girl who... is the one out of, like, a billion, comes once every 2,000 years, the girl who is not influenced, who has not been reincarnated before. So in the game, she's just a blank slate.
Oh.
She says no words. She just stands there and just like, what am I doing?
I don't remember this.
Yeah. She's the chosen one that the Illuminati people are after. I forget their names, what they are, but they're the Illuminati who are like, we need this girl in order to do, to resurrect evil in order to be powerful and control everything. Right. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
So the Illuminati want this girl, and she's just a blank slate, and we're just trying to take the blank slate and just make sure that they don't get her.
Okay.
So that's really the story.
Interesting.
We just gotta fight the Illuminati.
Alright.
Gameplay-wise, it's fine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of QuickTime events, but I really like, it's like Simon Says QuickTime events.
Yeah.
So in versus, like, X, square, triangle, circle, you have to use the joysticks, which is it's a PlayStation 2 game. Mm-hmm. So if it's like, you have a little Simon Says up on the screen, if it goes up, you push up, and then down. And then there are two different joysticks, so it may go up, opposing.
Oh, okay.
So it gets, it can get tricky, it goes real fast. I feel like I did really well with it towards the end. Like, I felt very proud of myself because I'm really terrible with QuickTime events. Like, I've played, like, Until Dawn and The Quarry. I've tried to think of it for a second. The Quarry. I'm real bad.
Yeah.
I suck. No. But this time a QuickTime event.
Yeah.
It's much better.
That's
with
good.
Simon Says. So, yeah. If you like David Cage stuff, you should play this game.
Yeah. I like his games. I liked Heavy Rain a lot.
I need to play Heavy Rain.
Yeah, there's a lot of very tense scenes in that one. See, when I first played that, it was on PS3, I think. Mm. And I remember there was one scene where you're driving, like, your son's been kidnapped. There's a bunch of dumb shit in the game, but, like, your son's been kidnapped and you're getting these instructions, and one of them is you're driving the wrong way down the highway.
Oh, Jesus.
And you have to, like, use the gyro to, like, turn, and it was, like, very intense, and it was very fun.
Pam likes intense things.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another scene where you're going through almost these, like, saw-like traps, and the QuickTime events was almost like playing Finger Twister. It's like pushing all these buttons.
I'm gonna fail so hard when I play that. Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun, and thank you to Pam for giving me this game.
You're welcome.
I just got a RetroTink 5X,
too. Nice.
So hopefully it'll make it better looking, because it's, I don't know, early 2000s game. Mm. It's real dark and pixelated. Mm. It doesn't look as great in terms of, like, on the modern console, modern console upscale. So hopefully it'll make, like, future games like this better looking.
Hopefully. So the next thing I played is called Home Safety Hotline. I streamed a little bit of this. I don't know when.
At some point.
At some point. This is like a kind of lo-fi game. It looks like you're playing it on a CRT monitor. You're basically a phone hotline person. It's like kind of like a pest control hotline person.
Oh, so I'm thinking of other hotlines.
Oh, no. You're not like a sex phone operator.
Damn.
But that would be a good game. So you go and you log on to your, like, I don't know, Windows 95 computer, and you check your emails, and so you go, and you've basically got, like, a bestiary of items. And so it starts off pretty normal, like, rats and mice and bees. And so it'll, like, give you a description of them, say, like, how you can get rid of them and, like, what dangers they could possibly pose to you. So then people call in with just voice acting and a sort of image, and they're like, oh, there's my house, and I keep hearing this weird knocking sound in the wall, and I keep finding crumbs everywhere. So you have to go by the descriptions and say, like, oh, it's this, and then you kind of send along the information so that they can deal with it. But then as it goes, you start opening up new entries, and they're all kind of like little folklore-y monsters and things. So there's
like little leprechauns?
Like leprechauns and hobs. There's like stair slimes. There's a
stair slimes.
a false beet, which was one of the most fun ones, which can grow in your garden. And if you eat it because you think it's a real beet, it'll just live in your digestive system forever. There's one called bed teeth, which can like just like gnaw at you and cause irritation. And then there's things that are bad that are like, oh, they don't pose a threat to like large adults, but if you have any kids or pets, like.
Oh my god, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, so.
Give me the scary shit.
So it's kill like. The kids. Yeah, it's not. Like, nothing really scary happens, but it's just creepy. And people call, and they're at, like, increasing levels of panic about the things going on in your house. And sometimes, if you give them the wrong thing, they'll call you back, and they'll be like, what have you done? And they're, like, upset with you. So you have to just read all of these things and determine what creature is in their
house.
And
it's all in, like, the Windows 95 form.
Yeah, yeah, it's all just, like, a... You're just going through and you can like read the entry and you get a phone call and you just have to say like, this is what you have. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Was it
really
fun? Cool.
It was really fun. I liked it a lot.
I kind of like those like old, like call back to nostalgia Windows 95 thing. Like I got to use my old school computer skills because we old. We're not young.
No. Yeah.
We were born in the
80s.
And like having those nostalgia the days of those Windows 95 windows and those stupid things. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and it's cool. And sometimes these videos will appear on your desktop and it'll be like, this is, I don't remember what the mountain is called, but it's like, here's the mountain and, you know, go along this trail and have fun.
Have fun.
But when you get to this point, take out your sword and take off your shoes and move quickly and silently.
It's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like that's very specific. Yeah. Why do I gotta take off my shoes?
It was very fun. I liked it. And it was nice and short too. It was like less than 3 hours, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love a short game.
Me too.
Why? The first thing I look at whenever I start a new game is like, how long to beat?
All the time. 100%.
How long is it going to take me to beat this mother trucker?
Yeah.
Is it under 10 hours? If yes, I'm there.
Yeah.
I don't even care if it's bad. I will gladly commit to less than 10 hours versus the fucking Final Fantasy VII Rebirth thing that I'm trucking through right now.
How far are you in there?
Chapter 6 or 7, I forget. It's been a week since I've played.
Yeah.
But I'm at almost 20 hours in.
Yeah.
And it's about, if you just beeline the storyline, I read that it's about 40, 40, 50, and I'm just beelining.
That's still a lot.
It's a lot.
A straight shot through.
Yeah.
Like, most of the people I've heard, because they do all of the, like, side
stuff.
Shit, and they're like, 100.
Yeah, my sister was close to 90th when she played, and she there was definitely some parts she didn't 100%.
Yeah,
there were some parts of the game she did, but yeah, she was close to 90th when she finished. And then some people are like 120, and I'm like, well, I don't want to do all the Far Cry bullshit of the towers and all the shit, so I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
I just want the story and the gameplay. Maybe we'll talk about it later.
Yeah,
but the gameplay is fine. But that's why we want short games.
Yeah.
None of this beefy bullshit. Like, even if you're like $30 for a game, and you're 10 hours, you're worth my money.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm happy to spend. Yeah. Did we talk about Bellagio last year?
We did talk about Bellagio.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm fine. Like, be a good experience, and I don't care. 6 hours, whatever. Like, I'll pay the money for
the
experience. Like, I'd rather do that than pay full price for like a game that's gonna just keep me dragging on for 60 hours. Like, stop.
It's so funny, too, because those, like, early 2000s, late 90s RPGs, if it wasn't 80 hours...
You're like, what is this?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Now it's like,
yeah.
Really?
I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I got that way around the time of, like, Witcher 3, Dragon Age Inquisition, and it was like, these games are, like, good, but why is there so much of them? Like,
yeah. Why is there so much things?
Yeah.
And you just do all these things, and there's no, like, feeling of real progression or anything. You're just doing things just to do things. Just to get that happy little achievement thing, or...
check a thing off on your map, or...
Fuck.
Yeah. Too much. Too much game.
What else are we playing?
What else?
So
I haven't finished this game
because you can never finish this fucking game, which is why I'm going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on my Monday co-op team. We've been playing Helldivers 2. Have you played any of the Helldivers?
I played Helldivers 1. Yeah.
Which I feel like is vastly different than Helldivers 2, the way you talk about, like, it's top-down
isometric. Yeah, it's like a top-down sort of twin-stick shooter on Helldivers 1.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas 2 is like a first-person shooter, right? First person or third person?
Oh my god, why can't
can you see your character?
I know what it means. I'm just trying to remember if I see my character. I know the difference. I don't remember.
No.
Vision of what is happening. No. Well, it's either first person or third person. We've done this twice, like, played through this twice. And I feel like I've got enough apparently I haven't got played it enough to even realize what the fuck first person or third person shooter I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, Helldivers, I feel like it's first person. It's first person. I'm not seeing my person doing bullshit. Alright, so Helldivers is, the story is Starship Troopers.
Yep.
You're killing bugs. Mm-hmm. You're part of the For Democracy. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. And you're goffed into these other worlds, and you're gonna go kill the bugs. Mm-hmm. And you have your character, and there's a lot of, like, in-game purchases where you can upgrade your stupid character.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. And there's no campaign. You just do missions.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the levels, you can do, like, level 3 missions, level 4, whatever. And you can have up to 4-player co-op, which we've been doing. And you just go down, do the missions, come back, upgrade your shit, go out, do the mission, come back. It's endless because apparently these, like, dystopian societies where they're really just, like, absolute communist or socialism or not socialism, but just, like, complete corrupt governments. But they say they're for democracy. They don't want to take the effort of just bombing all the bullshit and nuking every planet.
Mm.
They want to use resources and just, like, have people drop down into these things to kill the bugs. So you're killing bugs for democracy. And it's very much the vibe of Starship Troopers, obviously. The best part of the game is when you go into a mission and you drop down and you have this awesome music and you're just showing your pod going through the space and, like, and it's literally like almost a still image besides the flames. And it's like, we're going in there, kids. And then you get down there and the missions are fun.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, it's really fun to go with your group, to go down there, and the gameplay is fun in order to, like, if you die, and I needed to revive you, what I'd have to do is I'd have to push left bumper, and then the
up, down, left, right,
up, down, left, right, a button combination in order to revive you.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the same for any of the special items that you have to use, or special skills. So you just use these crazy button combinations, and then you get real good at button combinations, and Michelle's not good at. I'm good at reviving.
I feel like it's, even though the sort of main gameplay mechanic is different between the two games, they're exactly the same. Like, you
really?
Have your stratagems, you can call down your your a firing thing or a bombing or your mech, or you can revive someone. And it's all about, like, democracy. It's like, we're bringing you liberty. And it's hilarious because I think the very first mission I did, because your pods kind of come down at slightly different times. So I was playing this and my pod came down. I walked down to my pod. I was like, oh, look at this planet. And then Dylan's pod just came and fucking landed on me and killed me.
Definitely had that one of people call things.
Yeah.
And they're like, look out, Michelle, you're standing in the pod range. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. There's also lots of friendly fire.
Oh, yeah, friendly fire is definitely a thing.
It's definitely real.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle's not good at friendly fire.
I know. But even other things, like, one of my favorite things is turret. So you put down your turret, but the turret will shoot at anything.
At you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best is Brizzle throw out, like, these, like, mine things.
Yeah.
And he's like, Petey, look out for the mines. I'm like, the what? Boom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's just too much like those Call of Duty games.
It's fun. It's just the fact that it doesn't have a campaign. Like, yeah. There's no ending. I don't like that. Like,
I want an ending. Give me a resolution. Give me Starship Troopers endings where we're like, it's afraid! And we sort of, like, not resolve, but, like, at least come to a conclusion. Because there's no fucking conclusion. Mm-hmm. I want an end to the bug war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just not into those, like, forever multiplayer games.
I'm so disinterested in those, like, Call of Duty games. Mm-hmm. Where you just go in with a random group of people to go fight things.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? No.
Why? Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of the Call of Duties have, like, a co-op campaign.
Yeah, give me a fucking campaign.
But, like,
give
just the multiplayer is, like, I don't want to... Why? I don't want to do this.
This doesn't even have a campaign at all.
No.
It's just this.
Like, I think, like, it's all kind of community-based, at least in the first one. Because you go onto the map, and it'll be, like, you're this percent of the galaxy or whatever. Yeah. And so one time when I was playing one, I logged on. It was, like... You've lost the war. I was like, oh shit, I lost the war.
Damn.
But then it just like starts a new one. Like it doesn't.
Because democracy must win.
Yeah. 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 So it felt like the losing of the war had nothing to do with me. Other than, I don't know, maybe if I played 24/7, we could have won the war. But.
That's not happening.
No.
That's not happening. We don't really like those kind of games.
No.
We need a campaign. We need a campaign.
I need a story. I need a start and an end. So I know. Now we move on to the next game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is really one of the requirements that we have for our...
Our Wednesday co-op night.
Mm-hmm. If it doesn't have a campaign...
Yeah.
Nope.
Hard pass. Nope. So, Helldivers is fun if you want to just do a couple runs, but...
Yeah.
Eh. What else have we played?
So this is one that we did end up...
Dropping.
For the last... Was it only two nights we played it?
I feel like it was two or three.
We started playing Heroes of Hammerwatch, which is a dungeon-crawling roguelike, which is never, like, a great thing for our co-op game nights. You go, and you have up to four people. You pick... a class. What were you? An archer?
I was an archer.
Yeah. I started off as a paladin, which sucked. Everyone else was like a warlock, an archer. I don't know.
Berger was an archer as well.
Oh, Berger was an archer as well. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, everyone's ranged. I'll be the melee character. And being melee sucked.
It's terrible in this game.
But yeah, you go down into these mines or dungeons. You fight a bunch of things. You pick up ore. You pick up gold. As you go, occasionally you find elevators where you can send your ore or gold back up to town, because if you die and you haven't done that, you will just lose everything that you got. So then you can get also items that just sort of give you little buffs. And then when you get back from a run, you have to upgrade your town. And the first weird thing was that, so Michelle was the host, she's the only one that could upgrade the town. Mm-hmm. Like, we all had, like, the ore is sort of a communal thing. If one person picks it up, everyone gets it. Mm-hmm. But only you could actually upgrade things in town, which would let you, like, get a blacksmith and upgrade your damage and your defense and your crit chance, or a potion apothecary to, like, give you more potions, or let you get your skills up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because it was her game, Michelle was the only one who could actually use the ore.
Yeah.
Like, I started just selling all my ore because, like, what am
I going to do? Did you really?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, what am I going to do with this? So, like, the game was okay. It was very small. It was super zoomed out. Everything was very, very tiny. We went through,
We got to level three.
So we fought two bosses that we managed to get through. But it was just kind of...
annoying, just the roguelike aspect of it. When anyone dies and you res them, it soul links you. So if one of you takes damage, everyone takes damage. So, like, a lot of the time, you'd just be, like, off on your merry way, and then you just drop dead.
Then you just die. And you're like, the fuck!
Yeah. Like, Briz died.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Briz.
I mean, thanks for resurrecting me, but fuck you.
Soul Link was the worst feature.
Soul Link was very annoying, and there was, I think we found, in all of our runs, we found one, like, graveyard or something where you could clear Soul Link. It happened once.
Once.
The entire time we played the game.
We did at least 40 runs. Yeah. We've done a lot of runs.
We did a lot of runs.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, we were just, like, playing, and then we looked it up. It's like, oh, how many levels are there? Because we got to the third. I think there was, like, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It's like,
no.
I don't know if we want to do that. Although, I will say that the second time we played, I switched from the Paladin to a Warlock, which has more ranged spells, which is, like, 10 times better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Paladin sucked. Being melee was garbage.
Like, why even have that class?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was just...
What I found most frustrating about the game was, because I'm the host,
mm-hmm.
if it was my, like, ore,
mm-hmm.
and I sent it up, cool.
Yeah.
You guys would have your own 50 amount of ores. Mm-hmm. There's no ore sharing.
No.
So it's just me collecting ore to upgrade the town.
Yeah.
And it's very, very slow.
Yeah.
And upgrading. A lot. So it's just me upgrading and we can't share. And I'm like, I feel like if there was some progression, like, what was it? To level 3 of the town, we need like 30 ore.
Yeah,
and
each a lot.
Is a lot. And each run you would get like
maybe five or six. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe if we didn't die and forget, like, and didn't hit an elevator in order to progress it up. And they would all have 10 ore apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just have 10. So then I just send up my 10 and I go upgrade my 10. It's like, why can't we're all playing together?
Yeah.
I want to upgrade shit.
Yeah, we should have
a shared ore. Mm-hmm. That to make it feel like we're part of this community together. We're growing our happy little town.
Yeah.
Fuck you, game.
Yeah. It wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun. The pixel art was cute, but it wasn't as animated.
It was just all tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And especially there's a ton of traps, just like spikes and arrows.
The traps were very difficult
to avoid them because everything's so small and just like the movement is just...
Yep. Again with games, everything's too fucking tiny.
Everything's too small. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no Heroes of Hammerwatch.
Yeah.
No.
We'll try. We gave it a shot. I don't know what we're going to play next. Oh, yeah.
Diablo 3.
Yeah,
Diablo 4. 4.
Yeah, 4.
Diablo
4.
Four,
we'll try that.
3, 4, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it's fun,
but it's fine.
Yeah. I can't wait to cut that out with the cleavage.
I don't care.
Watch it. Whoa. So that's all the games and movie we're watching. Michelle has pickups.
You do have pickups.
But!
I'm not here.
I'm not there. I got Castlevania vinyl. Yeah.
Which one?
Aria of Sorrow.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
one. I got another vinyl somewhere.
Mm. I've been playing Circle of the Moon, which is like on that GBA collection of Castlevanias.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You like it?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No.
Love that for me.
Yeah. It's... The music's good, but
yeah.
I don't have any pickups. I haven't had any pickups in a while.
That's okay. Don't be like Michelle.
Yeah.
Don't throw your money. I've actually been really good the past couple, at least a week. At least a week.
Okay.
When there's something comes at me, I was like, oh, Risk of Rain is on vinyl re-release. You need that, Michelle. No, I don't.
Oh, like the original Risk of Rain.
Original Risk of Rain.
I don't even know what that sounds. I played it, and I don't remember what it sounds.
There's a couple really good songs.
Oh, okay.
Because it's still by that same guy. Yeah. Don't know his name.
Chris Christodoulou.
Yes.
Yeah.
Name of dude.
Mm-hmm.
Real good.
Nice.
But I didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Be proud of me.
That's good. Although we were looking. We were playing some Rayman Legends together. And
yes.
I was like, is this on?
Rayman Legends is so fun.
So
the
fun.
Music levels are great.
I love them so much.
So fun. And it's really fun co-op. Although I do find myself a lot thinking I'm you.
I find that in literally any platformer, any beat 'em up, Cuphead, Streets of Rage, like it doesn't matter. You're a frog and I'm Rayman, and I was like, that's me.
No, it's not. Like, who's the one dying the most? That's me. It's so funny, we play these games and Pam has like 300 score and I'm like 90.
I'm coming in there in the back.
It's fine. It's a cooperative game. It's not competitive. We're all
It's not. No. But it's really fun. Mm-hmm. I really like Rayman Legends.
I love it.
It's so cute. I'm so surprised how much I like it, because I'm not a platformer girl. Mm.
No, I love platformer. That's like in my top 5 games.
Because Ubisoft can be good.
Didn't even have to log in before playing it.
That's an inside joke with us. We're fine.
We're fine. That honestly, that's the one good studio though.
Right, I mean, the French Ubisoft.
The Montpellier. They make the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Beyond Good and Evil, Rayman, The New Prince of Persia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are different, like, sex. I'm not saying the word S-E-X. S-E-C-T. Sex.
Okay. I think Ubisoft has, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, 30 studios around the world.
Yeah.
There's one here.
Like, and it's different.
Yeah.
It's they not just the games. Same tools making the same bullshit gotcha games, you know? Whatever it is, fucking bullshit.
I mean, all the open world, like, the... I don't know. Like, I've never been into, like... Assassin's Creed.
Fuck Assassin's Creed.
Or Far Cry.
Fuck Far Cry. I get enough Far Cry and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, alright? Mm. I don't need that more in my life.
Yeah.
I don't need to do more towers. No. This is literally what I'm doing in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I'm just bypassing.
That's weird. Why would they put that in there?
I don't know. Because it's open worldy, I guess. And like,
I mean, it was open world, kind of.
I know, but already. I don't know why we have
why do you need to
do the towers in order to get more things, and just for fucking Chadley? Go fuck yourself, Chadley. Like,
Chadley. I've heard bad things about Chadley.
Chadley's just a tool.
Seems like an asshole.
He's just a Chad. I mean, he's just a little dude who's just like, I need this information. I'm like, no, you don't.
No. Get it yourself.
Yeah, I don't care. Let me go try to go date Tifa. Like, that's what I care about. Mm-hmm. But thank you all for listening and watching us rant on the couch.
Yep. I love these couch episodes.
I love couch episodes. Mm-hmm. It's fun. We have to do this more often.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to us, leave us a comment on the YouTubes, because it's really
that's
the
where
only,
we'll see it.
That's where we'll see it. I don't give a fuck about anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Even like, I don't know, what is it, X now? Or I go like this, X. Like I'm doing fucking sign language. X or Twitter or whatever the fuck it is. Or even like Instagram. Fuck all that bullshit.
No.
Comment on the YouTubes. Let us know how good Pam's hair is looking.
And everyone's, I get so much, when I use my,
curly thing,
not curler, my like waver, everyone's like, wow, your hair looks amazing.
I love trolling through your comment section and you'd be like, ooh, the hair pair.
So many comments on my hair. It's nice.
I
like that. That, you know what you should comment people on? Things that they have control over.
Where like, what would like, we not have control over, Pam?
Boobs.
Unless we're watching Roadhouse.
I guess. Yes. And if you like what you heard here and would like to check out some more fun podcasts, check out polymedianetwork.com. There's lots of podcasts about other video game podcasts. We've got podcasts about movies. We've got podcasts about children's books.
That sounds creepy when you said children's books.
I mean,
it's not true, because it's Goosebumps. It's literally children's books.
Yeah.
But thank you, everyone, for joining us. And drink well, my friends. Ha ha. Chink chink. Bye-bye.